To so many people, you know, lifelong Cubs fans, it's our happy place. It doesn't feel like a year without going to Wrigley Field, and you guys are amazing at what you do.
And that's the thing, is that the Wrigley employees are always so helpful. They go beyond.
When you see the same faces year after year after year in the same sections, it makes you feel, it all feels like family. That you're going to a place like it's a little family reunion.
Every family member and friend who comes to that I take to a Cubs game or I take on a Wrigley Field tour, because there's nothing better to do than to be in Chicago, and you all made that possible.
Like I said, these are not just employees, in my opinion. They're like family.
I've brought people from all over the world, all over the country, people that don't like baseball, they love Wrigley Field. And we have you guys to thank for that.
Welcome to Mistaken Identity Beyond the Ballpark. We explore the fascinating personal lives of the people inside Chicago's most iconic sports venue, Wrigley Field. Our podcast will take you on an amazing journey, introducing you to some incredible people that we've met along the way. We'll discuss hot topics, play a few games, and just try to have an overall good time. There'll be plenty of surprises along the way, so stick with us to see where our journey heads next. But for now, kick back, relax, and enjoy the latest episode of Mistaken Identity Beyond the Ballpark.
All right, welcome to another episode of Mistaken Identity Beyond the Ballpark, Season 3. And it looks like in Season 3, I'm going to catch all the people I couldn't get in Season 1 and Season 2, because here's another one who I tried to get from the beginning, who is finally here to join us. Mary, how's it going, finally?
Finally, it's going good. I know we've been more trying for a while. But...
yeah, so much has happened since we wanted to talk about the podcast. A lot has happened. Obviously, I cannot go any further without at least mentioning Elise. What a shock that was to my entire system. And I know it was a shock for you too.
No kidding. Yeah, I didn't believe it. When I got the phone call, I kept saying to myself, no, you're lying. No. And like, I just, for about 10 minutes, I'm like, no.
And I believe I had last saw her. Was it at the Club 100 event? Was that the last
one? Could be. The mid-season party, maybe.
Could be that. Yeah. Yes.
It was August. So.
Yeah. I was not only was I stunned about it, I was shocked. Jordan was extremely emotional about it. Like, Jordan was really he was taken aback by that too. But definitely, she's always on my mind all the time. Whenever I go past fan services, I'm thinking about Leaf all the time.
Yeah.
And speaking of Jordan, I tried at some point to get you and your daughter on, because there were some things going on. There's always something going on social justice wise that me and you were talking about. I think it was, was it George Floyd, I think it was?
Yeah. She lives up in Minneapolis, so she lived through all that. Yeah, it's crazy.
What did she say that was like for her? Did she tell you what did she say that was like for her?
So at the time, she lived right off of the main highway. And so when it was happening and the protests started happening, they were going right past her apartment building. And eventually she did join one, but when they were tear gassing some of the people and stuff, and they were running off the road, and she was going outside of her apartment and helping them flush their eyes and all that stuff. She said it was pretty wild. There were probably two or three nights where she didn't really sleep. She said there were sirens all night long. And she goes, it was pretty intense.
Okay. Now, I want to jump ahead real quick, because you just got back from a road trip to another stadium. And I'm the kind of person that when I go somewhere, some stadium, I can't enjoy the game, because I'm too busy watching where the security is, whether I'm just too busy being myself at another park.
Right.
But you got to experience a new stadium, and hopefully you got to enjoy it. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we went up to Target Field, and I had been there before with Alyssa, but it was funny. So this time I went on this Facebook page for people that chase ballparks, and I was asking for all kinds of advice, and there was this one guest service person that works there that reached out to me and was giving me different tips and whatnot. And so when I got there, I went, the first game, I went into the club. And so, you know, they scan your ticket and all that stuff. And the two people there were like, wait a minute, we know you. I'm like, Steve showed you my picture, didn't he? So he was showing my picture around so that people would know.
Oh, wow.
Who I was. And so they were just super, super nice, very welcoming, and just chatting with them. And they're like, this is the best job. And it was kind of funny because one of them said, yeah, we were at your ballpark and we love how you have the stools behind the seating area where you can actually sit down. Mm-hmm. And they said, we tried to get that here, but they said no.
Did they just stand?
Yeah, they have to stand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
They don't have to sit down. So we are very lucky in that regard. But yeah, so super nice. I got in, I met up with Steve, and he was just giving me all kinds of stuff. And I went up to, he took me up to where the organist is. I guess she's famous. Sue the organist. But super nice. So I talked to her for a little bit and took a picture and yada yada. But yeah, everybody there is really nice. So
now,
is the thing.
I like food, and I saw that you got unlimited something. Now tell me how you got this food deal. And what
That's kind of funny. So on Friday nights, they have a special that if you sit way out in the outfield in one of three sections, you get unlimited food. And it's ballpark staples, hot dog, popcorn, nachos, ice cream, you know, nothing like fancy. But I mean, the tickets were $35.
Oh, wow.
And then the food. I mean, you can't beat that. And it's every Friday home game. So we did that. And then we did the club on Sunday. And I got, they're very famous for Red Cow burgers. So they have ground beef mixed with bacon into a patty. And then they put bacon on top and a special beer mustard sauce. Highly recommend. Very good.
Okay. I'm supposed to be going to Detroit with Keyston and David Jones on the August. So it's my first time traveling since the pandemic to a baseball stadium. So I'm looking forward to it. But again, when I go to anywhere, I got to look. I'm looking for the security. Where's the usher? Where's the security? I'm in that mindset, so I never go to
anywhere. So they, it was kind of funny. They kind of messed up. So when you go in and out of the club, you're supposed to scan your ticket in and out like we do at Gallagher Way. And so Steve took me to the elevator to go down or to go up to see Sue. And the two people that were at the elevators, we just started talking. And I guess they forgot to scan my ticket and I didn't know. So we went out and walked around for a while. And then we came back and my ticket wouldn't scan. I'm like, oh, no, here I am, one of those people. And, but no, they were nice because, no, you were here before. I remember you. We were talking. And, you know, so then they told me what had happened. I'm like, oh, whoops. So it happens.
So let's move to Wrigley Field. And for those that don't know, you live pretty far.
Yeah, I do. I live in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
So how long did it take you to get from work? On a game day, would you say?
So I leave because I like to get there early, sit and eat and chat. So I leave my house 2 hours and like 15 minutes or so before my start time. But it takes me roughly an hour and a half. If I hit every single train, you know, so what I do day games, I go from Skokie and I take the yellow to Howard. The night games, I will drive to a friend's house, park at her house, and she lives a block off of the Purple Line. So then we drive or take the train in together. So, yeah, so an hour and a half, roughly.
So I guess the people that are listening to this or watching want me to ask you, what makes a person that lived in Wisconsin when I worked for the Cubs? Tell us that story.
Because I'm nuts. I don't know. Well, I don't know. I just, I have three older brothers. You know, I grew up on sports. I had no choice. You know, sports was always on TV, and just fell in love with baseball. And I think it's funny that I do love football. And I think the reason I love football and baseball so much is that I actually have time to watch those. Like basketball and hockey, I don't have time to sit and watch three or four games a week. I can't do it. I'm a teacher. I can't do it. You know, football is once a week. It's on a Sunday, usually. And then baseball is in the summer when I'm not working. So that's how I came to love baseball. And when I first time I got into Wrigley, just fell in love with it. It just felt more like traditional baseball. You know, I've been to Yankee Stadium, and it just, I didn't enjoy it. First of all, you felt so far away, and there's just lights and screens everywhere. It's just too distracting. I just want to watch the game. You know, whenever we go to Wrigley, I want to get there when the gates open, because I personally enjoy watching them get the field ready. I think it's cool just watching all the lines being made and how they put the sand out and, you know, whatever. It's cool. So, yeah, that's why how I got into it, I guess.
So were you always a Cub fan?
Yes. Yep. I did grow up in Wisconsin my first 10 years. So I do remember going to County Stadium, which was funny. I don't know if you are aware of this, but when it was County State, you know how Bernie, when they hit a home run, Bernie goes down the slide at Miller Park. Yeah. Well, when it was County Stadium, they had a guy go down a slide, but he went into a big tub of beer, like actual beer, only in Milwaukee, right?
I didn't know that. Wow.
I didn't know that.
Now, football wise, are you more Packers than Bears or?
Oh, no, 100% Bears. 100%. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No offense, Nirav, but I can't stand the Packers.
Okay, all right. So how did you even hear about the Cubs job, and what was the interview process like for you?
So every time I would go to a game, I would point to, like, one of the ushers and tell my girl, someday, it's going to be me. And they're like, yeah, yeah, Mom, okay, whatever. I'm like, no, someday, that's going to be me. And I just had to wait for them to get old enough where I didn't need to be home all summer. I mean, yeah, they were teenagers, but we all know how much trouble teenagers can get in. So,
yeah.
So finally I just said, you know what, my youngest has been driving for over a year now and she's responsible. And I know I don't have to be home all the time. So I just applied online. And I remember when I got the phone call to, after all the interviews, I still remember I was standing at the kitchen sink. It was a couple of days, I don't know, before or after my birthday. I don't remember, but when I got the offer, because I remember thinking, man, that's the best birthday present ever.
I don't remember the first time I met you. I know you and Elisa, I think Nancy were always together. My memories of you all, my earliest memories of you all, for some reason had involved me like laughing uncontrollably, maybe at a party, whatever, but I don't know how I met you all, but since the day I met you all, I've sort of talked to you all ever since.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I know in the beginning, every time we tried to take a picture with you, you couldn't stop laughing. See, here you again.
Yes. I remember that. Yeah, I think it was like the midsummer party, I believe it was.
It could be, yeah.
In the dugout, yes. I remember.
In the dugout, for sure.
Now, so tell me about, now, obviously being a Cub fan, the World Series is huge, and I ask everybody this.
Yeah.
What were you doing? What was going on? The moment.
I have great memories of that as well. So obviously I wasn't working there yet. I didn't get a ring. Maybe someday. So I have three older brothers. One's in Los Angeles, one's in DC, and one lives in Memphis. One of my nieces went to school in DePaul, and she had a 3-bedroom condo on Southport. So a bunch of us paid them a couple $100 to leave for the weekend.
Okay.
So there were about 10 of us, my brothers and nephews from Memphis. My Alyssa came home. Or Alyssa, yeah, she was here still, I guess I was 16. She was still here. My brother from LA, my niece, my other niece from LA, we all just kind of converged. And we stayed downtown on Southport from Friday afternoon till Monday. They had to go home. And it was just, we had the best time. The best time, just like, especially after game five, you know, it was insane. Just, I remember walking down the street, everything was blocked off. People have "Go Cubs, go" blaring from their windows. And yeah, it felt like we had just won, you know, after game five.
I remember on the first game we had, a regular World Series game, I was going somewhere. It was like 9 a.m. It was a night game. I was supposed to be 9 a.m, but I went past Wrigley and streets were blocked off. People were in the streets, in the bar at 9 a.m.
I believe it.
Yes. And you could just walk around in the streets. You had it blocked off. I'm just like,
six. Yeah. You had to pay. I mean, we were trying to find place because we had like 8 or 10 of us and you had to make reservations at these places and pay like $300 to hold a table.
Yeah.
And so we went to, I forget what it was. It was right next to Cubby Bear. Something, I don't know. I can't remember the name. And so we had a table there. And my one nephew was coming in from Memphis on the train. Well, his train was delayed. And so they were late. And because we weren't there, or no, so we got in. And then it filled to capacity. Yeah. And so when they got there late, they wouldn't let them in, even though they were part of our party. And so we went back and forth and we were kind of mad. So we left. We're like, well, we're not staying here if you don't let them in, you know. So anyway, we ended up going somewhere else. But yeah. And then like the rest of the week. So then my daughter and I, game seven, we went down to Underground, went down there. Oh, no, Uncommon Ground. That's it. And went there, watched game seven. And that was nuts. I like didn't eat all night long. and it was so cool because after we won, like there was no massive riot that everybody thought the city was going to burn, you know. Everybody was just so happy and, you know, it was great.
Yeah.
Club 400 Ballpark Lager is a beer for all 9 innings. Take me out to the ball game. This crisp, easy drinking lager is perfect for a summer day amongst the bricks and ivy. Crafted at Crystal Lake Brewing, this beer is clean and refreshing with minimal bitterness so that you can celebrate a W in style. From Club 400, Cubs fans helping Cub fans, this baseball brew can be found at most places that sell beer in Northwest Illinois or from Crystal Lake Brewing. Beer master Ryan Clooney. Enjoy a beer or six pack today, and please remember to drink responsibly.
So, were you in the mob, or did you run down to Wrigley Field?
We did.
What was that like? What was that like?
It was crazy. So first, my daughter was 16 at the time, and she like all of a sudden just leaves. And at the time, you don't know what's going to go on outside. You just see all these people going towards Wrigley.
Yeah.
So, you know, finally, I'm like, you can't just leave. And so we went down there, wall-to-wall people. You're kind of getting smushed. And it was just, we didn't get close enough to actually see the marquee and that it changed and whatnot. But, you know, it was crazy.
What time did you go home then?
Oh, my God. So we got home. And we had gotten home about 1. And I remember driving past Vernon Hills and driving past Dick's Sporting Goods, and there was already a line wrapped around the parking lot to buy T-shirts in the morning.
Wow.
Insane. And we were going to go and get in line, and then I saw how long it was. I'm like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. And I made a deal with her that if you wanted to go to the parade, you had to go to school that day. You had to go on Thursday. We already took Wednesday off to go watch the game, and then we're going to take Friday off to go to the parade. So I'm like, girl, you're gonna have to suck it up and go to school. I don't care how tired you are.
Yeah. So what was the parade experience like for you?
That was fun. So both of my girls had to work at like 5. So we couldn't go down to Grant Park. So we just went down by Wrigley. And we just saw them come out of Wrigley. But that was cool. Again, wall to wall people. We got there at like 7 a.m. and we got the front row. So we saw everybody go by. That was very cool.
Now, tell me what your first Cubs convention was like. Everybody, I know those of us that are veterans, We always say it's nothing but work, 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 work. But I'm just curious, what was your first
convention like? I got really lucky. Well, the first night, Friday night, they put me in front of the doors for bingo. I was like, oh God. And you know, people just kept creeping closer and closer, like back up, back up. But then the opening ceremonies.
Ah, okay.
And then during the ceremony, we just happened to be standing there, and I think it was Sam. Somebody was looking for people to walk over here and kind of sit with the kids section in case one of the kids had to go to the bathroom. I'm like, well, I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher of young kids. I'll go do it. So I went and sat with all those kids and, you know, basically the front row.
Yeah.
And do you think any kid was going went to the bathroom once all those players came out? Not one.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to like sit there with all these kids and they were just in awe and it was great. And then later that night, they put me over by the players where they were coming out for Ryan Dempster's show and all that. So I got to see some of the families. So yeah, so that my first convention was pretty darn cool, I gotta say.
Now, did you stay downtown or did you drive back and forth?
No, we stayed. Yeah, we stayed. We stayed at the Doubletree.
I was telling some of the rookies, it's one thing to work there, but I think to stay in the area, it's just so much more that you see outside of just working there.
For sure.
And players are in the lobby just hanging out and going and staying down there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. We've so in 17, we actually, and so the funny, if you backtrack a little bit, so in 16, I took the week of the World Series off of work, like back in July. I said, okay, I'm taking this week. This is my week vacation. I said, Cubs are going to win it, whatever. And they're like, what if they don't win? I'm like, well, then I'll show up at work, but I'm not missing this week, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I'm taking it now. And so we did that and we bought tickets for the convention, you know? And so that all, everything turned out good. And we just had a blast at the weekend of the convention in 17 as fans. I mean, we like cried all weekend. It was crazy when they were playing We Are the Champions at bingo. Oh my God, it was nuts.
Now, do you remember your first day working every week? Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh.
That was like what it was like, where you were at, what you were doing.
I was probably at a gate. I worked at gate 3 a lot. I was with Dorothy and Eric a lot. So chances are I was probably there.
Okay.
And Elise and I ended up at the same gate a lot. That's probably how we became so close.
Okay.
It's funny because I do remember, you know, we had the handheld scanners back then.
Yeah.
And I remember being terrified if it didn't scan right away. Going, oh God, oh God. And then by your second year, you're like, yeah, okay, it's not scanning. We'll get you in someday. No, first day jitters is funny.
And now you're mostly in the lower bowl.
Yes.
So what is that like? What is that like?
It depends on the section. So if you're in like the 100s, you're actually doing a lot more visual of making sure people don't sneak in there. And so I am a visual person. So I'm really careful about watching who goes out and what they're wearing and what their hair is, whatever, you know, hat, whatever. And so I'm pretty good about that. Not too many people get by me. And I've chased people out like two sections down because I see them coming down from the 200s. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. And I'll go over there. The 100s, or I mean, when you get down in the singles, they don't try and get in there as much. I think people just realize, yeah, you're not going to get in there. So, yeah.
Now, a person from Wisconsin, I want to know, what was it like to work Winterland? Because you're already in cold snow. You're used to it. I'm just curious, what was the Winterland-like experience for you?
Oh, it was fun. We had a great time. Wasn't too cold. I do remember, like, not this year, but a couple years ago, obviously before COVID, there was a really super cold day. And I happened to be stationed over by the Starbucks entrance. And so whenever the roamer came around, I'm like, can I go get Starbucks? I need some hot chocolate. So, you know, you learn. The more you're there, you learn. And I do a lot of hiking, too, and I love hiking in the winter. So I have learned how to layer up and what kind of clothing to wear, you know, and all that. So
I was impressed by the crowd. I didn't expect that. The crowds were insane in Winterland.
It was crazy.
I didn't expect it at all.
Yeah. In fact, I was showing all my brothers about it, and I think they're going to plan a trip up here between Christmas and New Year's so they can do that, because they're like, that looks so cool. I'm like, yeah.
So we talked about your daughters, but tell our staff over that watches this about your family. I know one of your daughters graduated, I believe. So tell us about your family.
Yep. So I married a guy from Germany. He was born and raised in Germany. Came over here on several vacations with his uncle. Ended up staying here with one who lived in Illinois in Lake County. And that's kind of when I met him. So he came on a 1-year visa and then never left. Have 2 daughters. One's 27 and one's 23. One lives in Milwaukee. She's bartending. Is dating a guy, a really super nice guy. They've been together a little over a year now. And then my other one lives in Minneapolis. She graduated from there 2 years ago. I can't even believe it's been 2 years already. And she works for the Attorney General's office up there. And she's dating a guy that 2 years now. So I have a feeling she'll be up there. She's going to live there. That's her home now. And I knew it like sophomore year of college. I just knew.
And I see from your post that you have animals everywhere. You have birds that you feed, that you have rabbits. I've seen. Tell me about some of the animal adventures that you have up there.
So, yeah, we have a lot of greenery back here. I have a very complex bird feeding system. Right. My dad has always loved birds, so I got that from him. And, you know, we have a lot of rabbits. I remember one day last year I was sitting there because our breakfast table is right by the window so I can watch all the birds. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye. There is a turkey walking through my yard. Big old turkey. I'm like, okay, that's a first.
Wow.
I've had deer in the backyard. That's kind of fun. That's pretty cool.
I think I would freak out if I saw a turkey walking by. I don't know.
I know. I was like, what is that dark thing I see out of the corner of my eye?
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. I think I would freak out on that. But
Kenosha has a few turkeys that they're famous for. They're like everywhere, believe it or not.
Now, I will say that Wisconsin has been in the news a lot. I feel like I either hear about Florida or I hear about Wisconsin.
Yeah.
In the news a lot. And one thing that me and you talk about behind the scenes a lot is, you know, and I saw this on The View, actually, and that is are there some subjects that are off limits with your friends and our family? You just don't talk about because you don't want to hear their responses. And
I will say most of my friends and I have the same views. My co-teacher and I pretty much have the same views because we agree on a lot, so we can chit chat in class. But some of my coworkers, like when we're eating lunch, I can't. Things have come out and then they start going and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to shut up now because I'm not even going to start it.
and Wisconsin is considered considered a swing state? Is it purple or is it?
Yeah, it's definitely a swing state. Yeah. And there like if you look at a map of counties, most of it's red, but there are pockets of blue and that's where the big cities are, like Madison, Milwaukee, up north, like Eau Claire. A lot of that is blue up there. So, yeah, it's definitely a swing state. Didn't used to be, but it definitely is now.
Yeah, you know, I've learned just to not talk about religion or, you know, that with certain people.
For sure.
It's valid, yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah, which is why I really don't post things on social media anymore. I got 4 minutes left. So I always get people that are guests to ask me a question. Question for me.
Oh, man. Lord, I don't know. I guess I will ask you, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do when you are not at Wrigley? I mean, you are a busy man, but I know you love mentoring.
And it's funny, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be so cliche. It's going to be so cliche, but I feel like I enjoy Sunday. I have this day during once a month that, you know, we go out and do stuff. I can't work on anything. I can't do a podcast. I can't do a conference, whatever. And I've gotten to the point now where I look forward to it so much that just that spending that time doing things, like going smaller than like going to the zoo, is like a breath of fresh air because you're not being cursed by fans. I'm not chasing cups. Right. It's not cliche, but I think, you know, spending that time away from life, you know, with Jordan, I think that is what I do.
And I know our time's kind of getting short, but that's exactly why I like to do my hiking. Yeah. You know, Wrigley is a happy place, gets me going, but then I got to get away from everything and get into nature, and it just kind of settles me. Yeah, so I hear that.
And of course, Jordan wanted me to tell you hi, and you've always been supportive of him and the things that he's done. So
he definitely is he coming back to Wrigley? I miss him.
He is not. So I don't want to break this news before him, but I mean, he's graduated from college.
Yeah,
with a degree in HR administration. And let's just say that he has got a pretty good job lined up with some pretty good money.
Good for him.
That will not allow him to come back as a employee. But for his graduation gift, we are going to one of the premier clubs sometime soon.
There you go.
Back around. But he's making some pretty good money.
Good for him.
Yeah, so.
Awesome.
And it's gonna, him not being at Wrigley will save me money. So I'm okay with it.
Love it.
I'm okay without having to feed somebody. Be glad that your daughters don't work at Wrigley with you. Just be glad.
Yeah, I suppose. I did try to get Alyssa there for like her first summer away from when she came home from college. But
the money you spend, you might as well just give them the credit card.
Right. No kidding. And let me tell you, it never ends. Even when they're 40, you're still.
I just got a text yesterday. Hey, you know, I saw something on TV that I really, really like. But anyway, thank you very much. And by the way, thank you all for joining us and being supportive. Elise and Mary were one of the very first Patreon supporters that we have. And I can't believe this is year number 3 that we've been doing this. So thank you, Mary. And thank you all for watching us. And catch us on the next episode of Mistaken Identity Beyond the Bar Park.
All right. You're welcome.
Hey guys, if you're hearing my voice here again, that means we've reached the end of the show. It's that time again for all the thank yous and special messages and disclaimers, you know, all the stuff you really tune in for each week. A big thank you yet again to all of our supporters who not only continue to tune into our show, but take the time to hit the like button, write reviews, and share our content on social media. It all really helps us grow our audience. Our Patreon page continues to thrive as well, as we're working not only on the podcast, but the Roku channel and the book club and on and on and on. If you'd like to be a part of that expanding Mistaken Identity experience, follow the link in our show notes to our Patreon page or go to patreon.com and search Mistaken Identity Podcast for all the ways you can sign up to access this multitude of additional content. Mistaken Identity is also now a part of the Unconfined Network, which is a home to many podcasts whose hosts have met inside the walls of Wrigley Field. Check out the network's other show offerings. Head to unconfinednetwork.com. That's all one word, unconfinednetwork.com, to view all of our shows and their catalogs. Shouts out to Frank Walker, Jesse Graham, and Jordan Burks for their continued efforts both in front and behind the scenes to keep Mistaken Identity rolling along every week. And of course, we can't leave without our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely our own, and we do not speak for or on behalf of the Chicago Cubs or any other organization. This is Joe Flaherty for the Mistaken Identity Podcast saying stay safe, and we'll catch you next time beyond the ballpark. Oh, 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 oh